Would you turn to Matthew chapter 27, please? If you're in the through the year Bible reading with us, we have finished and are finishing, I think, today, Matthew chapter 27. We are soon into the season that's called Lent and the preparation before the resurrection. The Western Church observes 40 days, excluding the Sundays, because they're representing the traditional day of resurrection. But Lent is a time of fasting and prayer, preparation. How many know that Lent, historically on the church calendar, was preceded by Mardi Gras, or calendar? How many know it's become something entirely different nowadays? But Mardi Gras, or carnival rather, means the removal of meat. It was the final time of that kind of meal before you go into Lent. But it's become known as a wild time of revelry and party, but originally it was not that way. Those of us who understand or represent some who have had that calendar in their lives love the season of Lent. Others, that's from the high church background. I came from the low church background, and we just frankly celebrated every day. Every day was Mardi Gras. But you know, it's very meaningful. There are a lot of people who have surrendered their lives to the Lord who are returning to some sort of anchor of church calendar because it does provide a sense of peace, tradition, but also a heart preparation. What Jesus did changed our lives. Can anyone say amen? What Jesus did was immensely meaningful and changed our lives. But let's go to the scripture, and I want you to see just a few short verses that are so important. And I'm going to read these out of the four Gospels this morning. Matthew 27, verses 57 through 60. Matthew 27, verses 57 through 60. Now when the evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. Now that's New King James. Listen to this phrase out of the King James originally. It says, he begged the body of Jesus. Now, these words roll glibly off our tongue. We've read them a number of times, but I want to take a few minutes and see what's really happening, by whom and with whom is involved in this scripture. Mark chapter 15, verses 42 through 46. Mark 15, 42 through 46. Now, when the evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead. And summoning the centurion, he asked him if he'd been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he bought fine linen, took him down, and wrapped him in the linen. And he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Out of the King James, the phrase goes, went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Interesting distinctions in those words. Luke 23, 50 through 53. Luke 23, 50 through 53. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision indeed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate, asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever lain before. And the phrase in the King James says one more time, begged the body of Jesus. John 19, verses 38 through 42. John 19, 38 through 42. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but, say it with me please, secretly. But what? Secretly. Say it, really boom it out for me.
Secretly.
For fear of the Jews, secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus, and Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. The Message says he petitioned Pilate. King James says he besought Pilate. Now there is a lot of extra biblical material written about Joseph of Arimathea. I'm not going anywhere close to that this morning, because what we want to do is have our primary text, our main text is the Bible. What does the Bible say about this man? And this message is the secret saint breakthrough. The secret saint breakthrough. Who and what was Joseph? Well, number one, the Scripture tells us Joseph was rich. Say it with me. Rich. How many would like to... No, never mind. The Greek word is plousios. Say it with me. Plousios. And it means, literally, a man of wealth and abundance, literally abounding with provision. Now, we know little more of Joseph of Arimathea than he was absolutely abounding with provision. And for some reason, to God, that was important. Do you know what I think is cool? Throughout the generations, you have heard that if you're rich, it's a wrong thing. You should give away all your money. It's a sin to be rich. How many know that is not what the Bible says? Come on, a few of you. How many know the Bible doesn't say that? The love of money is a root of all evil. But it doesn't mean money is. Now, what we see very quickly, and I won't labor the point, but Joseph is a fantastic perspective and example for us of somebody who was just plain loaded and rich, who used it for the kingdom of God. Isn't that what we're to use our resources for? The kingdom of God. You know the old phrase, the old song, you can never outgive the Lord. You can't outlove the Lord. You can't outgive the Lord. So he was rich, and he used his wealth to bless the Savior. You don't have to renounce all wealth. Maybe God's put provision in your hands so you too can bless the kingdom of God and other people. Use what God's put into your hands. Be blessed and be a blesser. Say, I am blessed and I'm a blesser. Give and it will be given to you, the Bible says. The Lord has put resources into your hands, and you have an opportunity to accomplish far more with your resources than you could ever imagine. If this was the only thing Joseph of Arimathea ever did with his money, he blessed the kingdom of God for all of eternity. And Jesus only hung around the tomb for about 3 days. But this has gone down in history for all of time. Interesting. All right, we know that he was from Arimathea. Now, there's much conjecture about the location of Arimathea. Some commentators say it was about 8 miles north of Jerusalem. Most agree that this was 20 to 22 miles north of Jerusalem. He was a counselor. He was a member of the high priest or the high council, rather. The Scripture tells us he was good, he was honest, he was just, and he was honorable. He didn't concur with the council to put Jesus to death. He didn't just go along with the other people. He stood for something. He may have been quiet about it, but he stood for something. How many in this room stand for righteousness? Come on, let's see your hands. Doesn't mean you have to shout it from the rooftops, but you need to take a stand. Pastor Carl used to have a poster a long time ago that said, you need to know what you stand for and what you won't stand for. How many know what you stand for? Amen. A counselor, he was good, righteous, just, and honorable. He waited, the Bible tells us, to see the kingdom of God. He was a wealthy man, but he was looking for God's kingdom. He was a stranger and pilgrim on this earth and looking for a city which was to come. Is that you and me? We're looking for a better place. We're bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, and yet we also know that heaven someday is even going to be a better place. You're a stranger. Look at each other and say, you are stranger. Now look at each other and say, hello, pilgrim. You're a stranger and a pilgrim in this place, is what the Bible says. So let me ask you this. He waited for the kingdom of God. That was his hope. Seeing the kingdom of God. Seeing God move. Pouring out revival. See the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Is that what burns in your heart this morning? I want to see Jesus. Who else?
Yes.
I want to see his kingdom. Who else? Let's see your hands. Wave at me. What is it you hope for? What's your passion? What provides vision, focus for your life? Is it just for your sports team to win? Just want to sell something else? Or play with your computer? Or boat? Or fancy yellow convertible Mustangs? Just kidding. Just kidding. See, he's going to hit me after the service, honey. What do you hope for, though? What's your passion? Do you want to see something happen in your kids and grandkids? You want to see them become something? The Greek word here means he waited with expectation, with confidence, with patience. What is your passionate purpose? What gives meaning to your life? The scripture basically tells us that Joseph was a secret saint. The word secret is the Greek word krypto. Say it with me. Krypto. Now look at each other and say, God bless you. Krypto means to conceal by covering. Secret. And the Bible tells us that he had fear of the Jews. The word fear is phobos. The Greek word is phobos. Doesn't that sound like what? What's our English word? Phobia, right, to be alarmed, to be frightened. Possibly, at times in your life, you've been intimidated. Possibly, you have been afraid of bullies. Maybe you were a kid and you had bullies in your life. Or maybe as an adult, you've been afraid of rejection, afraid of what someone else might do to you. It can actually be a controlling fear. Maybe Joseph was afraid of loss of influence, of position, of business, of recognition. We know he was a wealthy man. You know, you've heard it before. You don't want to be too radical for Jesus. You know, that church is a little radical. You don't want to let it control your life. You don't want to let Jesus really change your life, do you? How many say, that's wrong, I do want him to change my life? But, you know, some people think that. And if you're Pentecostal or you're charismatic, well, you're probably just going to do radical stuff. And if we had chandeliers, surely we'd swing on them. Okay, Vern says, I wouldn't. No. but you know, you watch out. They have the gifts of the Spirit. I'll never forget. I've told you this before. I'll never forget. We had somebody that came for one part of one service, and I was playing, celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. You know, it has a little life, a little pep to him. And that person met somebody later on the golf course and said, oh, yeah. I went to that church once where that pastor played that rock and roll stuff. Yeah, Pastor Kerry co-pastors Living Faith Fellowship in a college town. Am I heavy rock and roll, Pastor Kerry? No, her daughter, Katanya, their granddaughter's praying, oh God, let him get a little more rock and roll in his soul. I'm sorry, honey, I'm limited by my cowboy boots. Okay, all right. But you know, don't get too radical. Hey, listen, folks, if you're going to give your life to Jesus, be sold out the whole route. Why go partially into the kingdom of God? I'm waiting for the kingdom. I want to see him, and I want revival to come, and I want to see Port Ludlow change, and Port Townsend change, and Port Hadlock, and Irondale, and Port Gamble, and Port Angeles, and Port Squim change for Jesus. I want to see the Olympic Peninsula change for Jesus and swing down Kitsap. And I want Western Washington saved. And I want all of Washington saved. I want the United States of America to be boiling over with revival.
Amen.
Oh, God, move. So we can't worry too much about what other people are going to think.
Amen.
Come on, church. We can't be too worried about what other people are going to think. Whether those are your kids or your grandkids or your friends or your neighbors, how many want to see God move?
Yes, amen.
Then we can't be filled with fear. How many know if you're straddling a fence, one foot on one side, one foot on the other side, How many know it's going to hurt because Jesus is going to change that fence into a razor blade in your life? You better hop off on the one side or the other. Matthew 6, 33, but seek ye
first.
I'm sorry, seek ye
first
the kingdom of God, His righteousness. And all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, the comma was added later. So, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these other things will be added to you. All right. So, that's what Joseph was. But what did Joseph do? He begged for the body of Jesus. Say it with me. He begged for the body of Jesus. The Greek word is aiteo. Aiteo. To beg. To call for, to crave, to require. I've got to have the body of Jesus. I can't just leave Him on the cross. Now in English, to ask is a casual word for us. But the depth of what happened here from Joseph was literally incredible. Now remember, Jesus had been brutally pre-tortured more than any man prior to crucifixion. They impaled Him on a cross. He was beaten, so disfigured, the Bible says, you couldn't recognize Him as a man. And they impaled Him on a cross, completely covered with blood. Not the casual thing you see in the movies. The closest to it was the Passion of the Christ. But even then it was worse. Why? Turn to each other and say, He did it for you. He did it for you. He would then reviled even on the cross. Some jeered at Him. The women, now listen carefully, the women, some of the women who were His followers, were right there with Him. Hearts broken. Mary Magdalene, etc. And most of His disciples had what? Fled. They'd run away. They were terrified. They were controlled by the fear we just talked about. Peter followed from a distance. Then he denied his Lord. There had been six trials, understand. Six illegal trials in the middle of the night. Not just one. There were six trials and events that went back and forth. The crowds had been stirred up, paid and bought off, some say, to call out for the release of a murderer named Barabbas while calling for the crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus' death then had come quickly on the cross, and He'd called out to His Father while He was there. And what happened? You remember what happened when His death occurred? What took place? There was an earthquake, remember? And rocks were torn apart, and the veil in the temple was what? Torn in two from the top to the bottom. Some beat their breasts and they concluded, surely this was the Son of God. In this dark and confusing time, desperate time, this secret saint can no longer be secret. He had to ask for permission because in crucifixion, the Romans usually left the bodies exposed on the cross without burial, both as a lesson to everyone passing by and as a final humiliation for those who were crucified. So Joseph went and begged Pilate for the body of Jesus. Secret no more. Come on, say it with me. Secret no more. It's up. The jig's up, man. You're a known entity now. Evening and Sabbath approached quickly and Joseph had to hurry. Joseph is the one who took the body of Jesus down from the cross. Joseph. Now the secret's out. The quiet follower has stepped up when others ran away. Now he's known before Pilate as somebody who wants to take care of Jesus. Now he's willing to get involved in Jesus because everybody else is gone and not around to do it. No longer safely distant, this meant he got Jesus' blood all over him. How many in this room have the blood of Jesus all over them? Come on. You ain't a Christian if you don't want the blood of Jesus all over you. Wash me clean by your blood, Lord. What a precious, precious thing. Nothing secret, nothing hidden, straight out in front of everyone. Joseph collects the body of Jesus from the cross. Then he wraps the body in a clean linen cloth. Fortunately, he had help. You know what's so cool? Do you know what's so cool? All the disciples fled. The women are kind of close by. But the two guys we know of in Scripture who were kind of secret followers are now front and center. I think it's pretty cool. It wasn't James, it wasn't John, it wasn't Peter that took Jesus and buried him and wrapped him. It was two guys, one who came to him in the middle of the night as a secret disciple, and the other one who was a secret disciple. Because God brings each of us to a time in our life where he says, son and daughter, it's time to stand up and be counted. Think of it. This was a confusing, horrific time. There was all sorts of confusion. And how'd you like to be the priest standing in the temple when the veil rent? Now, we stand from a distance. That'd be pretty cool to see. How'd you like to be the priest in charge of the temple when that happened that day? You think God's trying to say something, and pretty soon that veil renting is going to come down to me. But no more quiet stuff now. Now, there's two guys. And Nicodemus steps up to the plate, right along with Joseph. They bring spices. So Nicodemus brings spices and linen, and Joseph is in begging for the body of Jesus, and he brings a long linen cloth, and the body's carefully taken down. They wash his body. They wrap the body of Jesus in layers of cloth with spices in between them, between the layers, and probably it had a whole bed full, laden full of spices. Guys, the King James says 100 pounds of spices. Most other commentaries say it was probably 75. I don't know, it's a certain weight, but it's either 75 to 100 pounds of spices. Jesus, who was crucified, the worst death known to man, below the common slave and criminal, got a burial fit for a king. Someone say amen. Amen. Got a burial fit for a king. They lay him on a bed of spices. Nicodemus joins Joseph in embalming and wrapping Jesus' body in regal style, and the ointment was extraordinarily large and expensive. And it points to a lesson in teamwork by two fearful guys who could stand together and accomplish a lot for the kingdom of God. Come on, anybody in this room ever been afraid of what God's asked you to do? And when you come to the body of Christ, you get to be with friends who will strengthen you on your journey. Come on. My guys, we're stronger together than we are on our own. You can be full of gusto, full of guts, full of glory on your own, but sometimes when the heat comes on, you begin to wilt. But it's a lot better when you got a friend standing by you saying, go get him, man. You can do it. So Nicodemus and Joseph. Can you imagine the conversation? Well, buddy, time to be counted now. You go to Pilate. No, you go to Pilate. No, I'll go to the store and buy the spices. You go to Pilate. Between them, they got the spices and they got the body. The Jewish custom of burial, by the way, did not include mummifying or embalming. Instead, they washed the body, again wrapped it in cloth, soaked it with aromatic oils and spices. They laid the body of Jesus in a tomb. Now, this is fantastic. This is a brand new tomb, probably cut out of the limestone. Anybody ever been to Israel? I've been to what they call Gordon's tomb. It's pretty powerful. It's a real hush, awe-inspiring experience. And you could stand up in this tomb. Clearly, this was a tomb of a very wealthy person. You see, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53, do we have it there? They made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. I love this. Joseph, we find that Joseph was looking and waiting for the kingdom of God. if he truly lived 22 miles northwest or north of Jerusalem, in his heart clearly was burning something that said, when they take me, when I'm gone, bury me in Jerusalem. Bury me by the temple. Bury me where we worship. I want to be there when he comes back through the eastern gate and get me to the house of the Lord. Bury me there. He puts the money and the effort into digging out a fantastic tomb. And he loves Jesus so much, he says, I don't need the tomb. It's for my Savior. Oh, don't give so much to the church. Hey, you don't give to the organization. You give to Jesus, who blesses the organization. How many want the kingdom of God blessed? How many want your church blessed? First and foremost, give to Jesus and let him bless his church. And he said, I don't need that tomb. And whether he forgot that Jesus said, just give me a few days, guys. Nobody seemed to remember that. We might not at the moment either. But Jesus only needed to borrow his tomb for just a few days. Now, typically what they did is they would lay this person out wrapped in his cloths, and they would put the stone against the tomb and come back a year later. And then they would take the bones and put it in a container and slide the container onto one of the shelves, and a family would be buried in there or something like this. And of course, Jesus never got that chance. There's a whole story behind when he is resurrected and folds up the napkin. I'll tell you all about that. It's powerful. Once again, Joseph said, it doesn't cost me too much. I want to give to my Savior. I'm looking for the kingdom of God. The body would be wrapped, laid in the tomb given to him. He'd been a secret disciple, and now he's known. He's begged for the body of Jesus. He's got blood all over him. He's got spices and ointment, and Nicodemus is his friend standing with him in the middle of the night. Maybe they'd been jeered at by the other priests who said, how come you're not standing against Jesus? Because even though they were secret, they didn't consent with the fact that the others said he should go and die. How come you're not standing with us? And why aren't you jeering at Jesus? And these guys wouldn't do it. But now, they're known. People watched him carry in a body wrapped in cloth, and or wrapped in the cloth while he was there, and then finally they roll the stone to the door. Now, a wealthy person's tomb would often have a groove sloping down into the doorway of these caves. And a stone slab a yard in diameter would be rolled into that spot. Stone's easy to roll in. Ain't so easy to roll back out. Matthew 27, verse 61 tells us, Mary Magdalene was there. We don't have it. There should be one other one. Okay. All right. Matthew 27, 61. Sorry, I didn't put it on there. Thanks, Pat. You always pray for her. She has to be flexible with me. And she's so polite. She doesn't turn to me and say, you jerk, you did it again. Bless you, my child. Verse 61, and Mary Magdalene was there and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. They were just watching. Now, understand what this means. This is full of meaning. Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, followed Joseph and Nicodemus as they carried Jesus' body to the tomb. You need to realize just a little other nugget. Under Roman law, they were absolutely forbidden to have public grief at the sight of an executed criminal. And that's who Jesus was to them. They could only follow in silent grief. But I love it. These ladies wanted to know where they put their Lord. Because Sabbath's coming. But after Sabbath, I don't care how many pounds of ointment you've put on him, we're going to anoint him again. Because we love him. Of whom are you afraid? By whom are you intimidated? Family, children, grandchildren, bosses, neighbors who are desperately needy for Jesus. Joseph and Nicodemus were honorable men and good men, and they'd done what they could, and they didn't consent. And God said, it's time for my secret disciples, for my secret saints, to have a breakthrough. It's time for a breakthrough. And God let them stand together and stand up. And they did what none of the other disciples who had walked with the Lord for 3.5 years did. But God gave them the opportunity. Sometimes we conclude, you know, I'm not a pastor. I can't. What can I do? I can't speak. I'm not a good witness. I can't go evangelize. What can I do? You can tell your neighbor about Jesus. You can tell your family about the Lord. You can tell him what he's done for you. It doesn't have to be any more complex than that. You don't have to have all your theological ducks in a row. It's good if you do. Study the Word. But all you need to do is tell them. Secret saints, God wants you to have a breakthrough. Let's stand. Team, let's come back up and let's sing that song we were doing at the end there. Here I am to worship. Key of D. Is there anybody in this room who could step out a little more boldly for Jesus?
Sure.
Is there anybody in this room who looks for the kingdom of God and want an opportunity? Ask God this week, give me fresh opportunities, Lord. Give me fresh opportunities to share and to reach out. Not be a secret, but to share the good news of Jesus. Help me to be like Joseph and Nicodemus. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being your saints. And we pray, O God, that from understanding this morning will come change to our lives. Here we are, Lord. Here we are to worship and to be those that show the world how great you are.